It is Wednesday, my dudes. Hope you're doing well. Thanks so much for tuning in. Great to have you here tonight. Making sure everything's recording here. Yes, it is. Very good. Good to see you all. Hope you had fun last night. We had fun. A lot of things that kind of slips under the radar, actually, when you tend to listen. You talk a little bit in between and stuff like that. But it was the full shitstorm has kind of crystallized itself here today. With the blue check marks, etc., completely just freaking out, going into hysteria mode. Particularly, of course, over the Proud Boys slash white supremacy comments. We have some stuff on that. And also, of course, on the flip side, from the pushback against the blue check marks, you've seen a lot of critique, of course, of Biden's inability to then denounce Antifa on his end of things, right? So we're going to talk about that. We have some other stuff lined up here for tonight as well, or today, whenever you're tuning in. We'll get to some of that. A lot of things, actually. I wanted to cover the Ilhan Omar election thing, the cash for ballots thing that Project Veritas did as well. We haven't done that yet, so I thought we'd take a look at that video. Some interesting things in there worth commenting on. And then we'll kind of go from there. A lot of other stuff. I was working on Lana's latest video. That will go straight up to redicemembers.com once that's finished. Working on that a little bit earlier today. That should be up maybe later tonight, but probably tomorrow, to be honest, depending on how more involved that is. So we're looking forward to that. And then, of course, next up after that, after the video Thursday there, there'll be Flashback Friday. But yeah, a lot of fun last night. Hope you enjoyed it. A lot of things, of course, we can talk about in relation to that. But good to see everyone here. Thank you for joining us in chat. Always a pleasure. Let me pull that up, I guess. See a couple of donations on DLive. We can do those real quick, and then we'll dive into some of the topics here, some of the analysis of yesterday's the first presidential debate, 2020, the year of utter catastrophe and collapse. And I think alien invasion is up next. It's the only thing that can top anything that's happened in 2020. Let me put it that way. Yes, we have, and I guess I should say, but better plugging that sometimes. If you do want to join in through some super chats here today, entropystream.live/redicetv. That's up and running. I'll keep an eye on that here tonight as well. I did catch a couple of there last night, of course, which I squeezed in right at the end. It was really hard to kind of get to those right in the middle of the debate in the show. But thank you to those of you who left Entropy streams last night. And also to, was it Joe Biden over on DB? Who said, this is earlier, I think after like 30 minutes into the debate. So Joe Biden for $14 said, I'm going to take part of my breakup to per twos, a congratulation to Brad for coming on man every month with freedom shekels. Now everyone gives Brad a clap for that. You dumb bastards. So I guess it was a shout out to Brad grandmother as well. If Brad's watching, by the way, shout out and thank you so much again for your donation last night. But yes, I wanted to just make sure I fired that off. Now, the other way, of course, is through DLive, dlive.tv/redicetv. Lemons, everything from a diamond and up. We read on air, and you can see it on the screen there too, popping up. Okay, yeah. So, why don't we dive into... Oh, yeah, I was going to read some of these here. Psilosopher. You can click it over here again. With a diamond, actually two in a row. Thank you to message. A couple of subs are handed out. Thank you so much for that, Mr. Wright. Always good to see Mr. Wright. He sends two diamonds and then a Ninja Guinea. It is Wednesday. That's right. It is Wednesday. I think No Go Zone is turning into the official It's Wednesday, my dudes show at this rate. Gal Friday. Thank you so much for the Ninja Guinea, Mr. Wright. Appreciate it. Good to see her as always. Gal Friday with the diamond. Thank you. Really appreciate it. VPFM is hosting Tina and Yunus over in Finland hosting. Thank you so much for that. Always good to see you guys as well. Olof Olofsson is here with a diamond. We're standing by Trump 2020. That's right. We're standing by. That's right. That comment was just it's been a shitstorm around that. We'll get to that. It was just it's crazy. White Rabbit Radio is hosting as well. Good to see you, Tim. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for hosting. Lord Aragon with a diamond. I've never laughed that hard in a while. Thanks. Yeah, there was some funny stuff, actually. I agree with that. Roar with a diamond. Shalom. How do you do, my fellow white people? I think I speak for all of us when I say we're doing very well. Thank you. and it's good to see her. Shalom. Cornered Space Alien with a diamond. Cornered Space Alien CSA. Enjoyed last night's Red Ice live stream, I guess. Red Isis. Thank you for that. Good to see you. CSA. Or Cornered Space Alien. Decoder with a diamond says, all right, it's Lure Dog. There you go. It's Lure Dog. Yeah, I know that the recording audience, like BitChute and Library and up on the websites, won't get that because I played a tune before we start up the recording. Right on the stream, and it's Nitrozome, I think he is. I think he's based out of Sweden, the guy. Pretty talented. He does some fun stuff. His YouTube channel is pretty based. Anyway, Decoder, thank you for that. Amara Arian with the diamond. I love the format of Weekend Warrior. Well, I'm good to hear that. We put a lot of time and effort into that, and a lot more produced and stuff like that. So I think a lot of members enjoyed it. But I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, Amara, and really appreciate that. RoboThink with the diamond. Surprised the debate wasn't an Israel dick sucking, and I guess it continues after and dick sucking event. I guess there's just no room for that kind of stuff, right? And as America gets increasingly roped up into its issues and its problems, and the economic issue, the collapse, the turmoil. Which, of course, you could argue have been created by a lot of people who, well, they would have an easy time running off to Israel if things get too heated in America or in Europe and be safe over there. I guess that it's just, there's no room for that, which is, that's good, right? But it's for all the wrong reasons. It should be front and center as a way of like saying, let's get foreign entanglements out of U.S. politics for one. Right? Imagine a Muslim country doing those kinds of things. So you hear about nonstop on Breitbart and Daily Caller and Fox News and shit like that. Anyway, yeah, I agree. Alan Harris with the diamond. UK race training starts 7,500 white civil servants. UK race training starts 7,500 white civil servants. I have to Google that, Alan. That's very interesting. So is that something that started this week? I definitely want to cover that if that's so. And what does that exactly mean? The civil servants. If you do have a link, put it in the regular chat, Alan, and I can take a look at that. But I appreciate the heads up if that's something that's breaking going on right now. Philbert Applebag with a diamond just subbed to Red Ice members. Love it. Awesome. Thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it. Great to see it. And I'm glad you're enjoying it as well. Exclusive videos, Weekend Warrior, tons of stuff. For you guys right there. Of course, the archives, all the way back to 2006. So we have thousands and thousands of hours of stuff right there. Cornered Space Alien, get with the diamond, says CSA, Cornered Space Alien, wants to know what donated subs are. Donated subs are. Well, you're doing it right now. That's a donated sub, right? Or did I... was that something I threw out? a donated sub. Oh, wait a minute. Are you talking about like the... If you like donate through Entropy and then you can get a subscription on Red Ice members, is that what you're referring to? Because that is a way that you can sign up for a membership. But otherwise, I'm not sure what you're referring to. Homeland with a diamond. But thank you though, Corner Space, and I appreciate that. Homeland with a diamond platinum plan for white waggies. Yeah, you won't see that anytime soon. That's how much white supremacy dominates. The United States of America. It's incredible. Daredevil's Advocate with a diamond. No message. Thank you, Chris Tuss Victor. Diamonds has great stream last night. Red Ice is number one. Daz Wright. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Good to see you all here. Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, so this is just in here from the debate fallout from last night. Essentially, the Commission on Presidential Debates say that they will implement new measures for future Trump-Biden debates. Last night's debate made clear that additional structure should be added to the format of the remaining debates to ensure a more orderly discussion. Excuse me, of the issues, right? So there's a shitstorm because they basically couldn't control it, right? There was way too many things I think that were thrown out. Many people thought that Biden did very poorly. He was slapped around by Trump in many regards, right? There was some, and here's more follow up on this CBS News. The Commission on the Presidential Debates plans to issue strict new rules in the coming days that include cutting off candidates' microphone if they violate the rules, per an informed source. So it says more tonight, CBS Evening News. We'll keep an eye on this, see exactly what they're planning on this here, too. Let me actually click in on this source, see if there's any additional information here. Debates Commission plans to cut off mics, yep, if Trump or Biden breaks the rules. But you know this would only happen to Trump, right? The commission that oversees the general election debates between candidates for president and vice president said Wednesday it will be making changes to the format of the remaining two presidential debates. One key change is plans to implement cutting off the microphones of President Trump and Joe Biden if they break the rules, according to a source familiar with the commission's deliberations. The plans have not been finalized, and the commission is still considering how it would carry out the plan. Interesting. So there's three more left, right? And it was Michelle Malkin commented on this too, I think, on our Telegram. She said this: there are two presidential debates left. I think there is nothing more to be gained from President Trump participating anymore. One, the second debate, will be moderated by C-SPAN senior executive producer Steve Scully. He has always been a fair interviewer in the two decades that I've known and watched him and been interviewed by him. But with the announcement today of more changes to the already rigged Commission on Presidential Debates format, there will likely be some type of kill switch that will prevent President Trump from fighting back against the two-on-one formats, right, that we saw yesterday with Wallace and Biden on one end, right? And you could even argue with the mainstream media feeding bullshit stories, to them that they could wheel out last second, like the taxes thing and then the military bullshit and everything. She continues here. Moreover, the third and final debate will be moderated by this diversity mongering moron, Kristen Welker, whose entire career has been framed by her racial identity. And as she links up to a YouTube clip here, I was going to see if it was an hour long kind of debate at Georgetown University, I think it was, about the diversity in the White House press corps. So the third one debate could be very interesting because it will basically be just all, it'll be white supremacy, black issues, white supremacy, and that kind of stuff, right? So that will be very interesting. Let me see here. Did I open up the... Yeah, here. That's right. Here it is. Here's the source for that, too. Excuse me, it's the wrong... Here we go. Yes, we did the first one. The second also... The vice president debate here on Wednesday, October 7th, is going to be moderated by Susan Page from the Washington Bureau. She's the Washington Bureau chief at USA Today. Don't know anything about her, but I'm sure it'll be as good as ever, right? But yeah, so watch out for the third presidential debate here then. Kristen Walker, or what? Sorry, Welker, co-anchor Weekend Today, White House correspondent at NBC News. So that's that. So the proposal now is basically to stop the no more debates, right? even Michael Keaton has come, because everyone cares about Beetlejuice, right? Even Michael Keaton said here earlier today, no more debates, Biden. You won. Just walk away. Don't. Ultimately, I think it's because he embarrassed himself in many regards. I just don't. I think that's what it's about, frankly. Actor Michael Keaton declared Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden the winner of Tuesday's presidential debate and demanded that he commit to do no more debates with Trump. The Batman and the Trial of the Chicago 7 star said Biden should simply walk away from his commitment to show up to the next two presidential debates. No more debates, Joe. Leave him hanging. You won. Walk away. That was not a debate. That was a good interview of Joe Biden, someone said. The Dumbo actor disputed any possible future claims of victory by Trump on Election Day, and then they go into the election issue. The gay op, the color revolution, which they're going to try to implement by stealing the election, basically. Now, there was something I missed, at least when watching it live, but there was some rumors here flying around about the fact that Joe was wearing some kind of wire. I saw some of the screenshots, particularly the one to the right there. I guess he coughed at one point, Biden, and it was something, hidden in his sleeve, I guess on his left-hand side, which no one else... So I saw claims, no, it's a rosary that he was given by his son or something like that. And I'm not quite sure what they're pointing to in the middle there. I guess just, I mean, that can frankly just be the shirt, right? A crease in the shirt, but it could be a wire. It could be a wire. I did see him fiddle with something inside in the pocket right there, right? So I don't know. This is some of the rumors. Apparently he addressed it, but, you know, who knows? Maybe it's, I mean, I saw even some more, even a kind of, you know, even more kind of out there claims that he was, he had, not that that was visually noticeable, whatever, in shot, but they were pointing to some of the technology that exists now with augmented reality, where you actually can just put a lens, what is it called again? The like for glasses, right? A replacement for the glasses, a lens. You just put it right in the eyeball. You can't see anything from it, but it can actually project things, and you can actually see. It would could essentially work like a teleprompter or something like that. You could be given cues and stuff like that. But apparently, that kind of technology exists now. So some people were speculating, you know, they might be doing that. Who knows, right? Who knows? I wouldn't put it past him at this point because he would probably need everything that he can get. Let me see if there was any follow up to that about the in the replies about the little lens, right? Oh yeah, here's some what people said too. There's some weird shot of his ear, like it was plugged up, like if it did wear a wireless. You know, transmitter or I guess a receiver then in his ear to take audio, you know, tips and you know, suggestions and cues and stuff like that. They put something over it to just kind of cover up the ears and with makeup. So it just looks like it's just his skin or something like that. But I don't know. Remains to be seen. But yeah, I didn't see the... Oh, and someone said this too. That's right. What's this thing on your head? People are zooming in on Trump's hair. He was like, he's a robot, right? No, but it was like some kind of other kind of device, they said, that you can get, you know, can communicate. Like, I guess it's skull to, what do they call it again? Like skull to ear, or, well, it's not on the ear, but it basically works the same way. It bypasses your eardrum, but you can actually still hear things from it. So I don't know. This is some of the sci-fi stuff that's flying around out there, but I don't know. I don't know, but the wire thing was pretty interesting because that really kind of popped out right there out of his sleeve. All right, so this was kind of interesting too regarding the different polls that was made. Jared Taylor last night, of course, when he joined us after the debate for a quick call, he reiterated this point that the Fox News audience, I guess, with 1%, voted 1% in Biden's favor. That. He had won the debate. It was like 49 to 51, I believe the number was, or something like that, which was kind of interesting. I don't know if that's even, are they sincere about that? But here's interesting. Spanish-speaking viewers of Telemundo expressed their preference of who won tonight's presidential debate. 66% Trump, 34% Biden, which is kind of interesting. Here's a screenshot here from Telemundo, right? Biden, 34%, Trump, 66%. Oops. Pedro Gonzalez there on Twitter said, the most important thing to take from this poll is that muscular leadership, law and order, and economic populism are broadly popular. You can argue Trump has shortcomings in these things, but perception matters, and it looks like a lot of people perceived him as such. Alpha moves, right? That's what matters, I guess. All right, Homeland with the dive-in says, coverage of the Trump-Wallace debate was great. Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. Thank you to Mr. Wright, who hands a one-month sub to DMX. Appreciate that. R. Nazi with the diamond. No message. Thank you. Max Headroom with the diamond says Trump won't give Biden a chance to make a mistake. Wait, Trump won't give Biden a chance to make a mistake? Yeah, he made a lot of mistakes. Well, I think one of my favorites was the family and... Family and ethics? What was it? I don't want to discuss that. We shouldn't be discussing that or something like that. Anyway, thank you, Max Headroom, the decoder with a diamond. Biden wore a wire, saw a video of it. Yeah, that's just what I saw there. I should, maybe someone has a time code. We can see if we can see it in the video. But, I mean, yes, absolutely. And what was it, prior debate, same thing. People were speculating Hillary was wearing something. And she was given the questions in advance, right? So they cheat in every way they can. Filbert Applebag with a diamond says, caller... In-ear monitors, you get them called in-ear monitors. You get them molded to ears. Yeah, I mean, but most times you tend to in some way kind of see it. I mean, I have in-ear monitors, but they're black, obviously, right? But you can they make them. Some kids they can make them much smaller. I believe most of them are. You know, you can get them completely wireless now. You don't even have like a tiny thing popping out. And but it looks like if he had something in that they had put. I mean, they do have those makeup things now, just a thin layer, and you gob on makeup over it to make it blend in with your skin. But yeah, I mean, in some cases, you can even get them. I think you can get some of the in-ear monitors to match your skin tone very well right now. And if they didn't, they'd find a way around it, as I said, with makeup. But yeah, in-ear monitors for sure. Mr. Wright with the diamonds is the pulse. Democrats going to need some more some more Somalis. Yeah, we'll get to that later too. We haven't covered that yet, right? So this was funny here. I guess we can, as we get into this issue of like white supremacy and the Proud Boys, of course, were brought up by name, right? Antifa was mentioned many times. I'm glad that these things are at the forefront, though, that these are the things that, kind of, I guess there's a lot of emotion around this that gets people riled up. But here's CNN's Jake Tapper talking about how a friend texted him. And he said, everyone is receiving texts from friends and family of people that are upset. And he said here that his friend's daughter had burst into tears because of how Trump behaved. Listen to this here.
Let's get some first reaction to tonight's debate from Joe Biden's running mate. We're joined now by the Democratic vice presidential nominee, Senator Kamala Harris, Democrat of California. It doesn't sound like she's actually plugged in yet. Is she ready? Well, hold on 1 second. We're going to go to her in 1 second. But in the meantime, Dana.
Technical issues. Love it. CNN.
Bash, let me go to you. We're all getting text messages from friends all over the country. A friend of mine in Kansas City, watching her first debate with her sixth grade daughter bursts into tears, has to run to bed because she was so appalled, the sixth grade girl, at what she saw from the president of the United States. We all want to dive into the substance, but it's almost difficult to get there.
Because you almost couldn't.
Is this, did they go on about this? Let me listen to this. Okay, let's see how they unpack this here then.
Actually hear or listen to what they were trying to say. And frankly, when Joe Biden tried to talk, what he was trying to say, because Donald Trump kept interrupting him. And even when Chris Wallace, the few times he tried to get in there, he didn't have any luck. It wasn't until sort of towards the end of the debate that he finally called out.
They are completely outraged over the fact that Trump got so many things in there, so many hits, so many punches. And they basically, no, like, we need to stop this. There's complete hysteria about this now. They shut it all down. If there even are to be more debates, they need to basically have some kind of Pavlovian device, some kind of remote control thing that they can shut down Trump immediately. So he doesn't say too many things, right? That's what I mean. Yeah, sure. They ran over each other over the allocated 2 minute slots that they had when they opened up a new topic, right? And he gets two minutes. And yes, they ran. Both of them did it. Frankly, they both ran into each other. But after that point, it's not a big, I mean, if you do that, sure. Okay. Like, you know, I get the idea then that you should be, you know, try to stick to that or whatever, but what the hell? I mean, after that point that they run over each other and just cut each other off, that's part of the game a little bit, but they're very upset about this. Incredibly upset.
Donald Trump for interrupting so much. So we would love to be talking about the substance right now, but it's unclear how much there was. There was a little bit on the important issues like COVID, and some discussion about masks. But again, it was very hard to actually absorb that through the chaos that Donald Trump was creating.
Yeah, it was only Trump creating the chaos. It was Biden didn't do nothing. Of course not. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. Fieldbird Applebag follows up the in-ear monitor message with the diamond says, and matched to your complexion. LOL, yes. Yep, absolutely. I would assume they're very advanced on that front right now and can hide it. The devices are getting smaller and smaller, right? Soon enough, as I said, you won't even have to have something in your ear. You can just have, maybe that's what Trump had then, though. Is that what he had? You actually have, it's some kind of it just basically beams a frequency to your skull. And it makes you hear. You can actually hear through that. There's some crazy shit like that out there these days. Okay, so Van Jones, continuing here on CNN's reaction to this. on the white supremacy issue. Let's see how Van Jones, remember he's the guy who talked about after 2016, the victory there. He called it a white lashing. Do you guys remember that? So here he is on the only thing that mattered to white Van Jones, and guess what that was?
Number one, number two, only three things happened for me tonight. Number one, Donald Trump refused to condemn white supremacy. Number two, the president of the United States refused to condemn white supremacy. Number three, the commander-in-chief refused to condemn white supremacy on the global stage in front of my children, in front of everybody's families, and he was given the opportunity multiple times to condemn white supremacy, and he gave a wink and a nod to a racist, Nazi, murderous organization that is now celebrating online, that is now saying, we have a go-ahead. Look at what they're look at what the Proud Boys are doing right now online because the President of the United States...
The salt is incredible. It's flowing. But listen to that. Then they're now a Nazi, murderous... Speaking about the Proud Boys here, right? Because that came up by name. I think it was Trump who mentioned it, right? Because he's like, give me a name to mention anybody. Who is it that you want me to denounce? Give me a name. And I think that was a good answer, frankly, because these bozos like Van Jones and all these blue checkmark talking heads in the progressive media, they are notorious for reshaping discussions, redefining words, they continuously move the goalpost. Anything that they say is white supremacy, is, according to them, white supremacy. QAnon is white supremacy. Conspiracy theories are now white supremacy. Anti-vaxxer sentiments are now white supremacy, right? It's whatever they say it is, it is. And they have this habit of like making you jump through hoops to continuously obey them, to do exactly what they want you to do. You have to fold, you have to submit to us, you have to obey. And if you don't do that, this shit happens. And they just shriek about this and cry like babies over it. Like, I'm glad Trump didn't do this, because basically it's if you continually move the goalpost and groups that had nothing to do with this. I mean, Proud Boys is not a white supremacist group. It's not. I mean, they can believe it is. They can try to pretend that it is. They can try to project this upon the group. Whatever, but it's not. Okay. And so, but this is the only thing that matters to them. You have to jump through our hoops. You have to obey. You have to do what we tell you to do. You have to denounce the things that we have, all the things that we have changed over time, redefining terms, just do a wider and wider scope, zooming back out to include more and more groups, more and more people, more and more opinions into this umbrella of white supremacy. And this is madness, because everything, it will be white supremacy. If you fold to this, what they'll do with this is that then they'll learn, oh, okay, that's what we need to, if there's anything that we don't like, if we just call it and label it white supremacy, then everybody will and have to denounce it and put it down and walk away from either those opinions or those individuals or those groups or whatever. And guess what? That's not how reality works. It doesn't work like that. You do not set the rules. The mainstream media do not set the rules. They think that they do, and they try to all the time. And in some cases, they do succeed. But this is lunacy. This is madness. Listen to this. A Nazi murderous group, he calls them. Listen to this.
To a racist, Nazi murderous organization that is now celebrating online, that is now saying, we have a go-ahead. Look at what look at what the Proud Boys are doing right now online because the President of the United States refused to condemn white supremacy. That's the only thing that happened tonight.
Look at that. The anger.
To condemn white supremacy.
We got to slow that down right at the end there. that's just amazing. That is amazing stuff. Here we go. Look at this. Van Jones. Come on, buddy.
Because the President of the United States refused to condemn white supremacy. That's the only thing that happened tonight.
The only thing that happened tonight. The only thing. Look at that anger. There we go. And they cut it off right there. Yeah, so there you go. Good stuff, right? Good stuff, good stuff. Thank you, Van Jones. I enjoyed that. We go up in normal speed. I don't think it affects the other videos. Anyway, if you just have the window open. But yeah, so that this is what they're doing now. This is what's happening. Proud Boys, of course, have been, what, trending all day after all of this, right? And doesn't matter how kosher they are, doesn't matter how much they have members who have mixed families and they have non-white people in the group. It doesn't matter, right? Because again, it's just the standards for what white supremacy is, according to them, is just lowered and lowered and lowered. And this is intentional. This is a tactic. This is to shift things in your direction so that you win. You gain ground on the political battlefield, basically, right? There's the Mirror from the UK, a far-right group, pledges allegiance to Donald Trump as he tells them, stand by. That was the big thing, right? I kind of like this. What is this? Stand down and stand by? Which is just like, yeah, don't do any dumb shit. But like, I believe he said too, that basically someone has to be out there to push back against the Antifa BLM violence. Because if the cops don't do it, right? Didn't he say something like that? But yeah. So they had the tweet there, or the, I guess was it Instagram or something like that. It says Instagram, yeah, from Proud Boys. Yeah, stand by. Or stand back and stand by. It's their Telegram. Okay, there you go. Their Telegram channel. There you go. But yeah, this is what it is now. This is white supremacy. If anybody that lines up against the BLM Antifa bullshit, anybody pushes back against left-wing complete mob violence of the streets, just call it white supremacy and everybody had to put it down. None of this pressure was put on Joe Biden. And frankly, it should have, right? The assault was incredible. Peter Buttigieg, did the president of the United States just instruct a white supremacist group to stand by? Chris Hayes, MSNBC. Was it all in with Chris Hayes, MSNBC? MSDNC, but it's telling Proud Boys to stand by is telling them to ... await further instructions. This is obviously something that he just threw out at that time, not to condemn, cool off then or whatever. I mean, he did minimal what he would have to do or something, you could say. And a third guy, don't know what it is. Holy fucking shit, the president of the United States won't condemn white supremacists. But he has many times, right? They run with this the very fine people bullshit line from the press conference after Charlottesville again. But again, the complete dishonesty by them to continue to bring up Charlottesville as that's still somehow that's dominating the discourse or the cultural framework of America after months and months and months of riots and violence and people killed and burnt alive and shot in the streets, cops shot. I mean, it's incredible, the dishonesty of these fucking people. Yeah, so Trump tweeted this out here. Radical left Democrats are going crazy earlier. And it was one video about this too, Antifa, because this discussion has been had, right? Well, Antifa is just an idea, right? It's just an idea. Don't worry about it. It's not an organization. I think even the FBI director reiterate the same sentiments, right? That don't worry about it. It's just we can't prosecute anybody. We can't go after anybody. It's not organized in any way. There are no Holy Zollers out there. They're like renting U-Haul trucks and doing signs and handing out shields and weapons. There's no one making flags or banners or stickers. There's no one overseeing logo creations. There's no one's writing handbooks. Mark Bray doesn't exist. I mean, you could just go on and on with this bullshit. But that's the line that they're pushing. It's just an idea. Don't worry about it. It's just there's no organization. So someone threw this together. Check this out here.
I'll tell you what. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left, because this is not a right-wing problem. This is a left-wing.
FBI director.
This is a left-wing problem.
I'm white supremacist. Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not malicious.
Right? The only time that we are heard is when we burn shit down.
Antifa's an idea. Antifa's an idea. Antifa's an idea.
Go!
Antifa's an idea. 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 Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not militia.
All right, there you go. So yeah, so someone threw that together. Of course, there's a there's a lot more that you can add to that, right? A lot more of the violence that we've seen. And of course, it's kind of a, I mean, since BLM is a trained Marxist group and the founders have stated that and they've lined up themselves on that page, you could read, you have two different names, but the end goal is the same in a way, right? So they're aligned. That's what they're out there together, burning cities down and creating all this havoc, right? And of course, that idea, it's just an idea. It's not an organization. And of course, that idea, of course, stands in solidarity with Israel. Just a little reminder there that, you know, that idea is a great, it's a great idea because, you know, they stand in solidarity with Israel. And of course, they can also just say whatever they want to say when it comes to, imagine it would be like, we create a, I think I did this example another time, an anti-pedophile organization. It's called Antipa or something, right? It's anti-pedophile or anti-pe or something, or anti-pedo or whatever. And the arguments that they've run with is that so if anybody opposes that, you are what they oppose. I mean, you could... And this is not how it works, obviously, but this is what they're trying to do. Well, we're anti-fascist. So anybody that opposes us, how many times have you heard this? It's right there in the name. Don Lemon, CNN, right? It's right there in the name. Anti-fascism. So if you oppose this, you're a fascist. Well, I've set up an anti-pedophile group, and anybody who opposes me and the things that we do, including burning down cities or whatever it is, right? Then you're a pedophile, and we could criminally charge you. That's the same, right? That's not how reality works, but that's what they're trying to do. Right. So Vitor had a good piece here. Peter Brimlow. Mainstream media still silent about Pry Boy Shane Moon being run down by Antifa. Not like the hysterical reaction to the death at Charlottesville. Right. Proud Boy Shane Moon was run down at a memorial service for a previous Antifa murder victim by a truck driver by a truck driver. Robbie Smith. This was reported by Gazetta Fairbanks at Gateway Pundit and some local papers, but there's still no national news about it. Compare that with the worldwide hysteria after one automobile death at Charlottesville, which may not even have been deliberate. Or compared to the deaths of Cannon Hinnant and the murders, which were definitely black on white murders, with the nationwide media storm with black and white writers about the apparent self-inflicted death of George Floyd. Three Twitter thread screenshotted to protect them from Twitter deletion. Anyway, but yeah, a couple of points on that there. Just to put that in perspective, right? Complete outrage about, selective outrage about certain cases in outer regards, not a peep, right? They just cover for it. And of course, the violence that we have seen over the last few months have been coming exclusively from the far left, from Antifa, from Black Lives Matter, and stuff like that. So yeah, it's true. Even Ilhan Omar joined in on this here. We're going to switch over here in a moment to the voter scandal, voter fraud issue in Minnesota, the cash for ballot scandal that's been raging there. And look at one of the videos there too. But yeah, she joined in. So last night confirmed what we already know. The president is a white supremacist. It's just, sure, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. Shouldn't you be worrying about the cat for ballots scam, the voter fraud that you have running that you are behind right now in Minneapolis, in Minnesota? So we have the video on that. I guess we could switch over to that. Pretty interesting stuff. Project Veritas, there are a couple of things in there you can mention. It's very interesting that they inserted the anti-Israel, it's an anti-Israel kind of group organizing this. And you kind of get that with you know, Conservative Inc., which kind of Project Veritas is part of. But that could also be potentially what creates the momentum that causes, you know, the mainstream apparatus for good or for bad, whatever, how you see that, to actually operate and jump on this and actually try to do something about the fraud issue, right? So we'll play that in a moment. Filbert Applebag with a diamond says, will the paranoia eat itself? I think it will. It already is, frankly, to be honest. It's just completely out of control. I see Cuckfree Zone over on Entropy Stream. That's entropystream.live/redicetv. Cuckfree Zone for 10 says, I'm still single, but still want to have a family. It seems so hard to just take care of myself that I'm afraid to take care of kids, but I still want to. Any general advice to get over this fear? Interesting. That's kind of a deeper philosophical thing, but you just, the basic thing I'd say is you cannot submit to this fear, because that's all it is. And frankly, in many regards, fear can be a good motivator. Let me put it that way. That if you would be in that position, you would be more incentivized than ever to make sure that you don't end up in a situation where you can't take care of your kids, basically, right? It could be the kick in the butt that you need. It could be the thing. I mean, I understand the fear. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely. 100%. But at the same time, you can't allow ourselves to be held back by anything like that, because that's what a lot of, I mean, there's that scene in Idiocracy again, right? The high IQ white people sitting at the beginning, I'm sure you've seen the scene. Oh, no, this economy, this is crazy. We can't have any kids, right? And meanwhile, of course, you have other third world countries that are just birth rates up at the 4-6 point per woman. Many African countries, Latin American countries and stuff like that, right? They're very, very high. Do they worry about, like, no. In many regards, they're also in a situation where they're starving. They're getting help from UN when they're dropping, milk powder to some of these places, right? Do they care? Do they bother? Like, no. They just continue. They keep going. And in some regards, sometimes that's just what you have to do. And don't submit to overthinking. That would be my tip. Don't let it get to you. Keep it pushing forward. Work towards getting a family. And once you do, once you look your kid in the eye, you'll be more driven than ever to make sure that you never end up in that situation. And that's a great feeling. So that would be my tip. But thank you, Kirk, for kind of a more of an, lot could be said about that, but it's a good question. But it's easy to succumb to that kind of fear. But don't do it. All right, so let's check out the video. In case you didn't see it yet, this is a little bit on the lengthier side, but I think it's worth to check it out to get an overview of just how bad things are when it comes to not only mail-in ballots and stuff like that, but ballot harvesting. They're paying people cash to get ballots and all. It's incredible. And of course, you would get this in the Somali community in America, right? And you have similar things happening in Sweden, where we have a large Somali community as well, where they're basically teaming up with the Democratic Socialists, and they're incentivizing them to vote for them and stuff like that. It's a sinister alliance, basically. All right, let's check it out.
James O'Keefe, back here on the ground in Minneapolis, our undercover journalists at Project Veritas have just exposed a voter fraud ring so widespread that many members of the Somali community here consider it an open secret. Many believe if this corruption continues, there'll be no more free elections. And our sources inside the Somali community here allege that the architect of this pay-for-vote scheme is none other than U.S. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar.
Your focus is winning, no matter what you do. You ignore the rules and regulations. There's no moral and ethics here. It's just the end will justify the means.
Project Veritas has received an explosive piece of tape. The tape you're about to see shows a man buying a registration form for an absentee ballot from a voter, giving him, quote, pocket money, unquote, of $200, and expecting to collect his ballot when the voter receives it.
Yeah, and just quickly for the podcast audience that might listen to this in post as well, after it's been streamed, that they're basically talking about how they're receiving money to giving them the ballot and stuff like that, and it's in Somali, but they're describing the criminal activity, basically. They're openly talking about what they're doing. We'll close the deal later tonight. We'll, you know, get money for it.
We hear from another ballot harvester who tells us how much money he receives for his illegal activities. Activities he says he doesn't care are illegal.
Estimate how much money they spend, referring to Ilhan Omar. They spend a lot of money, this group. I was given money so I could vote. How much were you given? $800. Is your vote expensive? Yes, it's
Omar Jamal is the latest Project Veritas insider. He secretly recorded dozens of conversations in and around the Somali community in Minneapolis to expose a rampant voter fraud scheme.
I think Ilhan Omar is one of the people who are behind all this mess. And they have a lot of people that work for them that make sure that, you know, tasks get carried out, ballots collected, there's a cash money exchanging hands. It's an open secret that everybody knows it, but they don't talk about it.
Will they do it again for the next election, general election?
Yeah. November. November is actually the gearing up for November, yes.
80,000 of immigrants' votes will swing this election to one side. And then they became very important. They became the focus of this, and millions of dollars are spent to make sure that these 80 or 100,000 of immigrant votes go one way. So it will make a difference.
What kind of wine is this?
It's expensive wine.
And you have very expensive wine. What are over here?
How many?
40 people.
40 people.
This election now, they'll spend millions of dollars. It costs a lot. It's huge money.
How much?
$200 to $300 is the compensation?
Yeah.
Some of the techniques that he uses is to exchange money for vote, and that's not a secret. It's open and everybody knows about it.
She is the one who came up with all this. The community, she's the one. Somehow. Nobody knew about, this is something like new within hand.
So she did it. She started this whole thing with the pay to vote.
Yeah.
Through our undercover reporting, we have discovered yet another person who claims he was paid hundreds of dollars in a pay-to-vote election fraud ring. His name is Osman Ali Dakwan, and he alleges both Ilhan Omar and possibly even her opponent in the last primary each tried to game the system in a pay-to-win scenario.
Where is the money coming from?
Election Kusabahai. All dirty. I like Lehman.
The more election you win, the more powerful you will become. The more fundraising, the money you will get. The more money you get, the more you can buy people. It's all tied together.
That's illegal, why?
We don't care illegal. Another man, of course, illegal.
We don't care illegal. So there's a heated discussion in chat on DLive going on regarding Somalia destabilization, IQ, levels and all that kind of stuff. But and even critique against Project Veritas and stuff, and they only go after certain things and stuff. And all that's valid. But for what this is, and in like how it stands out, it should fucking be exposed. And this is just fucking, it's just sick that this shit's going on. And of course, you would get it in a community that doesn't have anything invested in, American democracy and, your right to vote and stuff. And I think even one of the guys comments on it later on. Many of these people are their first generation. if nothing else, they don't even know. Someone just approaches them and say, this is why we do it here, and you get money for this, and we, you know what I mean? They don't bother looking into it. They don't know if it's illegal. The other guy here just mentioned, of course, we don't care if it's illegal. We just don't care. You think these guys are going to, yes, the Constitution and one man, one vote, and screw that. Furthermore, a lot of the Muslim sects that are and the clans are coming into European and Western countries overall, they basically get a diktat from one of the imams or something. Yeah, you vote for the Democratic Socialists, and then we get more stuff. We advance in society. And then they all vote like that. It's supposed, you know, free Western liberal societies. It's no man can, you know, influence another, and we all have our right to vote. It's like, it doesn't happen within these like hyper-religious, hyper-clannish communities. And so that's the clash. That's why Western democracies, and for better or for worse, will not survive this. The multiculturalism that they're creating, the importation of these people from the third world and stuff, it's not, in the long run, it's not going to outlast that. It's going to crumble and fall apart. Then is the question, what happens? Then is the question, if these communities continue to stay even in these countries, but that's a later question. But I'm glad that they're exposing this, because this is shit. This is incredible. This is, should be stopped. It's illegal. Should be stopped.
Your focus is winning, no matter what you do. You ignore the rules and regulations. There's no moral and ethics here. It's just the end will justify the means.
Osman clearly has a blatant disregard for the American political process, doesn't fear the illegalities of his actions, so much so that he casually mentions having to pay off al-Shabaab, a.k.a. al-Qaeda, to open a business back home in Mogadishu.
Do you guys remember, too, I covered it at the time. There was like a lot of, there was money running schemes happening, the receiving government money, taxpayer money. It was funneled back to al-Shabaab in Mogadishu and, you know, all over Somalia and stuff. It was like in the millions. There was some kindergarten scheme, I believe. All this corruption has come out from Minnesota, Minneapolis, but in particular, in the wake of this. But, you know, does anything happen? No, it just continues. Yeah, he says, I still have to pay al-Shabaab for them to leave me alone. There's demanding $1,000 from me, he says here, Osman Ali.
Osman Ali says even the election judges are in on it.
The election judges
Yes.
The judges are given the money. Yes, he says. The judges are given money? Yes, the judges are getting paid. They are corrupted.
Election judges.
Election judges, yes.
Bill Hans, people count the ballots?
Everything. So the people who are actually sitting, working, are the same people. They shouldn't have those same people doing all the job.
So the people that work for Ilhan are actually counting the ballots, counting the vote.
And they become a manager in the precinct too.
Of course.
And manage the precinct.
Yes. Progressives, yes.
Progressives, yes.
So they do all of it.
Progressives, yes. And I covered in Weekend Warrior, just very briefly actually, but like, there's these, like a clan in Sweden, in Gothenburg. I think that might be out of either Afghanistan or Pakistan. Ali Kaman or something like that? The I forget the clan name now. There's a patriarch there. His extended family is like 120 people or something like that. And they're basically running virtually all the criminal activity in Gothenburg. And the police are completely losing control. And they run it in these clannish kind of ways, which, you know, we in Europe haven't done since, you have to go back to like the year 1000, basically. Like in Sweden, particularly like around the Viking Age, you had, I mean, even then it was consolidation of power. You had greater and greater, you know, the clan grew eventually into the nation state and stuff like that. But they're still doing it that way, that's what I'm saying. And so Swedish society don't know how to deal with these kinds of situations. They can't handle this shit. And criminality is just out of control. They have checkpoints. These groups do, the criminal gangs, checkpoints, or these clans, I should say, on the streets of Gothenburg, where they extort people. They set cars on fire. These gang warfare is just completely out of control. I mean, this is that they're losing control. And these are just the initial signs of it. Eventually, chaos, complete chaos, will set in.
All of it.
They do all of it. They do it all.
Corruption.
They do all of it.
Well, not only Somali community, American people, it looks like if they're interested in continuation of the institution of this country, if they're interested in keeping this country intact.
They don't care.
I think one of the things to do is to make sure that people at least live up to the basic tenets of the constitution of this country. You know, basic rules of morals and ethics.
They don't care.
If you ignore that, then soon the house is going to collapse.
So we're watching right now.
If you don't do that, then there's nothing else left.
Even Osman, who is profiting from the pay-to-vote scheme, is able to reconcile with the simple fact that if criminals aren't arrested and held accountable for the wrongdoings, they'll never stop because they have no reason to fear.
What?
There's a lot of people who go to jail if it continues in this way. If this continues in this direction, many people will go to prison, or no one will vote in the city of Minneapolis. It's very, very corrupt, is it? Are they afraid? Until someone gets arrested. Until people are accused, charged, pressed, proven that they paid money for votes and go to prison. We are in trouble if they come after us.
Osman isn't the only person we found during our investigation who admits to being paid, but not all were as enthusiastic about their involvement in the pay-for-vote scheme.
Ilhan has a handful of people that work for her. They came to us to our apartments. And they tell us that this year you're going to vote for Ilhan.
Do you know if they come directly from Ilhan Omar's campaign?
The fact that there's like no discussion of the fact that this is how business is being handled by these communities and that this would be, that this would pose a problem to import into the West, that there's no discussion of this. I mean, even from the Project Veritas side of things, I believe. It's just like a, well, there it is. We have to prosecute somebody and this can't continue, surely. But, oh, by golly, gosh, we possibly couldn't try to oppose the open borders that this has resulted from a consequence of that policy, right? No, you can't question that. If they have complete utter disregard for the country that they come to and the population that has been kind enough to let them in, well, you can send them back, right? Just send them back then. They're not interested in the country. What are you doing here then, right? But anyway.
Yes, because they're not hiding.
Do they like let people know that they're with Ilhan's campaign when they're?
People obviously know.
They all know.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows in the community.
As you've heard from our sources, some in the Somali community feel strong-armed and imposed upon Ilhan's crew. Beyond the alleged confiscation of absentee ballots, we've also heard they may go as far as voting for them at the polling station.
They will make sure that you vote, and then when it's that on the way back right home, you can give you the money in the car.
How do they make sure you voted for Ilhan Omar?
Say it will be in a
when the paper comes, they mark her name, they say. They will help us at the voting booth.
At the voting booth, they allow them to help you vote.
Yeah.
So they walk up to the booth with you, yeah, and they vote with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, though we do not speak English, they enter the polling booth with us.
So inside the booth, the person goes in and actually votes for you.
Yeah. Yes.
So you never even get a chance to vote. Does he never really votes? It's the other person.
You know, democracy. Just let them in and they'll turn to constitutionalists. They're natural conservatives. They believe in the Western institution. It's incredible. Space Cowboy here from early. We'll continue to play the rest in a bit here. With the Diamond says, I love our people. No white guilt. I agree. Good message, Space Cowboy. Danish Warrior with the Diamond says, God bless Red Ice family. Hail our people. Thank you, Danish Warrior. Appreciate it. Good to see her. Mr. Noseberg with the Diamond says, those Somalis are just doing their civic duty. Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Good to see you, Mr. Noseberg. Max Headroom with the Diamond says, Somali ooga booga ooh ah ah. Something like that. There you go. Tiny Twat with a Ninjagini. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. You import the third world, you get third world behavior and slowly turn into the third world. Yeah, miraculously, the magical dirt theory hasn't proven itself quite to work yet when you just take someone from another country and then you either birth them in that in a new country or you pull them over the border and then they become, you know, they become a person of that country that they just came to or just were born in. That doesn't really seem to pan out. Didn't work that way. And of course, now it's even gone so far that at a certain point it was like, well, they need to become of course everybody's American. Whoever wants to come to America is an American, obviously, right? But they have to you have to allow them to become part of the culture. That used to be the talking point, right? Well, they learn the language, they absorb the customs over a few generations, maybe then they just kind of blend in, right? The melting pot kind of theory. And as bad as that was, in a way, well, again, it depends on how you see this, because at the end of that, that might actually be better. But the current status is, no, that's colonialism. That's like, that's, you know, dictating to these poor people that come to the West of how they should live and stuff like that. So they do not need to learn the language. They do not need to absorb culture. They do not need to try to fit in. They do not try to kind of become part of society, because all that would be kind of an extension of colonialism. So instead, of course, they create separate communities, kind of a parallel societies inside of our societies. It's a form of neo-colonialism that's going on, right? But that's now okay. That's okay, at least from the far left and stuff. And the conservatives are like, no, as long as let them become Americans. Just if the media just kind of eases off on like the racial hostility, everybody will become natural, kind of Americans or whatever country we're talking about in the West. And none of those things work. None of those things happen. What happens is that they remain who they are. And the country they came from, they bring those properties to the country that they come to, right? It's not a mystery. This is not strange. This is not it's not rocket science here. But they're pretending that, right? Why? Because they all give us bullshit excuses. Because the agenda is replacement. That's the number one agenda, to replace the native population of European countries and countries founded by Europeans. So in the effort to try to convince them that, no, don't worry, they'll fit in. One day we'll all hang out together. It'll be a big kumbaya fest. We'll get along. We'll all be mixed up and no one will tell, right? But that's not working. That's bullshit. That's a bunch of lies. Beast of Steel with a diamond says, voting is another name for organized crime. Well, there you go. it's interesting. What was it? Was it Eddie Murphy? There's that line. See if we can find it later. And of course, obviously, people like Ilhan Omar and their gang and stuff have to figure this out. But in the Eddie Murphy movie, it was like the real criminals. He was like a petty street gang kind of guy or whatever. Did petty crime, but he eventually went into politics because he realized that's what the real criminals were, and that's that's where you made the big bucks. It was even a slogan used in that, hope or something. It was actually what even the Obama campaign used back in 2008, kind of telling you, I guess. But yes, it is in a way organized crime, right? It's just the scum always rises to the top, as they say. Philbert Applebag gifted a 1 month sub to History and Truth. Thank you for that. Silosopher gifts 1 month subs to. To Roar, to William Shear, to Ivy, is it LVL, maybe 99 Light, 6 Rectum Jammer, 666, and Claudia MCK, MCK. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Salosopher, much appreciated. Cornered Space Alien with a diamond says, Cornered Space Alien is upset. Oh, shit. Sorry about that. Do you have beam weapons, laser weapons? Are you there yet? We definitely don't want to corner those space aliens, though, I tell you. One day they'll be up next, and then all hell will break loose. Papa Lazaru with a diamond says, import the third world, become the third world. There you go. Corner Space Alien again says, I missed the last 30 minutes of No Go Zone. You can always go back into the archives, and it's right there for you. But I'm glad you're joining us. Thank you, Corner Space Alien. Last Red Squirrels with a diamond says, 14. They must go back. Yes, Philbert Applebag with a Ninjagini. Thanks so much for that. What is your opinion on H.H. HHS head Michael Caputo telling Americans to buy ammunition before the election. I haven't even heard that yet, but I'm not surprised. Michael Caputo telling him, maybe there's a story on that. That would be interesting to pulling up. Well, I think he's right. Because I think if Trump wins the election, I think you'll see a shitstorm that you've never seen before, frankly. And I think that's when you're going to begin to see real organized violence from the left. We already see it, but it will be out of control at that point. So I think that he could be very, very, very well right on that. Vancouver Island King with a Ninjagini says, thanks for the great content. Well, thank you for the support. Can't do it without people like you and your support. So thank you so much. All right, let's watch the last few minutes of this video here before we move on.
Yeah, they actually the ones who vote. People don't usually. Yeah, they do the voting.
They're standing outside Jamal Usman's team, and other teams are standing there. They walk with you to the booth, and then they vote. Oh, vote this guy. Vote this guy. Vote this guy. Vote even if you speak English.
Wow. So how do they get away with it at the voting center? Why does nobody complain at the voting center that you're letting these people do this? Everybody just lets you go.
Federal law says anyone who votes for others is violating 52 U.S.C. 10307, punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. The law is clear. Buying votes is illegal.
Spent over $250,000 in this election.
Wow.
That kind of crazy.
Just handing it out. They got that much cash. Yeah. Out.
This is a big business because, look, this girl's going to propose how to end the money to Israel. Allegheny and the owner of the mall and Ilhan's campaign, the cash was coming from this guy. Because the money...
Now, it's very interesting that they put this in here, too. Frankly, I'm not surprised again, but again, obviously, if we are talking about money, this that goes on here is... It's not even a drop in the ocean compared to APAC money and all these like just hundreds of organizations that exists exclusively to push, you know, Israel interests in America, from the military to the cultural issues, to security issues, to, I mean, everything, right? APAC being one of the bigger ones, of course, but there's so many more. There's many others. And so it's interesting that they put this in here. And at the same time, the fact that they did put this in here is what could very well get some of the people acting on it. Like, oh my God, Israel is at risk, and then they act on it, right? Ironically, I don't know, but it's very interesting. But again, just as a comparison, this is the activities that they're involved in there. As bad as this is in Minneapolis, and that should be stopped. What they're trying to do in terms of like ending, you know, aid and stuff to Israel. That's a kindergarten organization compared to like what's already being run on the top levels, right?
He was being paid in more.
He's Palestinian.
Yeah, he's financing this whole thing. The reason she's
the big Palestinian financier, right?
For Palestinians, because of this.
That's it.
Yeah,
he's pulling the strings.
So it's all about money. And they want to talk shit. Defend Israel.
That's all this is about.
That's what that's about.
I hope the state, the governor, and the attorney general will take this issue very serious. Now we know it's out there. Now we know it's public. And I hope they will investigate and look into this in a very serious way. And I also hope that the U.S. attorney, the federal level, and even the FBI might come and look into this, because this, you know, cannot continue the way it is. It's simply wrong and illegal.
If the strong-arming tactics of Ilhan's crew prove to be true, it is a complete violation of basic human rights. From our reporting in the field, the community seems to be fully aware that Ilhan Omar's campaign is connected to a voter fraud ring that operates with impunity. So this raises questions. Why hasn't the Attorney General Keith Ellison looked into this? Is the head of the DFL, Ken Mark...
And of course, that links right up with everything that we've been talking about in regards to why Antifa's not being prosecuted in some of these areas, why they let the guard down when it comes to like direct BLM / Antifa's activity. Definitely Minneapolis after the death of George Floyd from an overdose. It's because Keith Ellison himself is part of the Antifa, right? He has that famous photo of holding up Mark Brace, Antifa handbook, right? The anti-fascist handbook. They even have a handbook. Remember, it's just an idea, but they have handbooks, right? But yeah, that's why nothing is happening in Minneapolis.
Is the head of the DFL, Ken Martin, turning a blind eye to this blatant corruption? Does Ilhan Omar yield this much power? If so, why? Should we be worried that unknown powerful people hold leverage over her?
Now, it's good. It's still good that this is coming out and all that stuff, right? But imagine this kind of coverage being done on, and it is, and people are doing this, right? But imagine them doing this kind of research on just how much influence Israel has on American politics, right? And much of that work is being done, but you do not immediately see wall to wall, coverage in the faction that opposes kind of the mainstream. And I'm talking about like the Daily Callers, the Breitbarts, the Fox News, the Gateway Pundit, and immediately you see they're picking up on this, and they should. It's not that this is not an issue. It is an issue, but it's funny how they don't care when the financial backers are Israeli, right? Or Israeli interests are being advanced through American politics. I'm very glad that it's being exposed. It should be exposed. It's disgusting. It's criminal. It has nothing to do in American society. But just look across the board then. Look at everything, right? Here's Fox News picked up on the story, kind of right away. Minneapolis police investigating ballot harvesting claims amid allegations surrounding Omar. I haven't even seen that yet, so let's see what they say about this here. It could be interesting.
Candidates out there had a very good night. Congressional correspondent Chad Pergram is live on Capitol Hill. Chad?
Hey there, Dana. Well, the squad is sticking together. Ilhan Omar, she prevailed in her primary in Minnesota yesterday. She had a well-funded primary challenger.
Is this recently? I'm sorry, is this? Yeah, let's see. Maybe the video is not related.
His name was Antone Melton Mew. He raised money from pro-Israel groups after Omar declared that the strong relationship between Israel and the United States was only about money. But despite raising $4 million, Omar resounded.
So it is kind of funny if the whole voter fraud scheme is right, because then it's like, it's basically like what Israel, we try to end that, that's bad. And then basically they're doing exactly the same thing. And of course, they, again, as I said, they can't even reach a, it's not even a per mil, right? In the percentile scale, so to speak. It's a one-tenth of a percent in itself that they managed to do if you compare it to the financier activities of Israel lobby groups and stuff like that. But then they go on and just try to do the exact same thing. It's like a low-level criminal that's trying to want to be the big criminal. Kind of, that's what we're seeing here, right?
Defeated Melton Mew, capturing 57% of the vote. The district is where police killed George Floyd. It's solidly Democratic.
All right, okay, the video in itself has nothing to do with it. But you get the idea. So they picked up on this, and they immediately said, reported on the story as it very well should have done, to be honest. I want to show this real quick, too, before we move on in that. And this is the story that, Philbert Applebag referenced here too, HHS. Now, I didn't know what that stood for, but it's the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS. That's the guy, Michael Caputo, spokesperson for Health and Human Services, tells Americans to buy ammunition before election, warns that anti-Trump lunatics will launch an armed insurrection against America. Interesting. While streaming on Facebook Live the other day, Michael Caputo, the Trump-appointed head spokesperson of the Department of Health and Human Services, told Americans that they should probably stock up on ammunition before the November election because things are about to get crazy. According to Caputo, Democrats are plotting an armed insurrection in the event that Donald Trump wins re-election. Caputo also believes that his own political opponents are going to have to kill me if Trump wins, which is why he, too, is stocking up on ammunition. Interesting. Is there a video of that? Did the Daily Mail have that? Oh, that's the guy. All right, here we go. Caputo. Okay, all right. Maybe they don't have the clip here. Nope, doesn't look like it. Daily Mail. All right, interesting. Very, very interesting. So here's the other. There was another video here. I think the one we watched are the most recent, but we didn't see. The part we didn't see is the... It's the video when they're admitting, right, that they actually are, that he's paying, he's sitting in the car, one of the guys, I forget what his name was, We did see, let me go to his Twitter then. I think James McKeefe had it on his Twitter. But yeah, the New York Times, of course, immediately attacked Project Veritas. And of course, there are, you know, there's issues you can have with them and stuff like that. And yes, they're part of conservative ink in many regards, and there's a lot of criticism there. But again, you have this, you know, dichotomy where they instantly have to put it down and say, this is fake news, but New York Times never engage in fake news. Project Veritas video was a coordinated disinformation campaign, researchers say. The timing of this deceptive video, which accuses Ilhan Omar of voter fraud, indicates that several conservatives, including Donald Trump Jr., may have known about it in advance. James O'Keefe here says, New York Times upset we stepped over their tax story. They label our videos disinformation. Why? We embargoed with government officials and media outlets ahead of time. That's it. It's what you do. They edited out the cash for ballot on tape. Interesting. But let me see if you had that. I want to play that. Yeah, here it is. This one. Let's play this one. This is the, I think this is the clip of the guy sitting in the car, right? That one, I think we didn't see yet. Let me see if it's in this one top here.
Project Veritas has received an explosive piece of tape. The tape you're about to see shows a man buying a registration form for an absentee ballot from a voter, giving him, quote, pocket money, unquote, of $200 and expecting to collect his ballot when the voter receives it.
Sorry, this is in Somali here, guys, but I want to find that. I want to make sure it's in here.
Right, that's yeah, illegal. Why?
We don't care illegal. I have license. Wonderful.
How much are you see?
It's good one.
Let me see here. Is it the updated portion? That's what I want to see. Let me see if they have their own Project Veritas. It's the updated portion where they found a video of the guy sitting in the car and talking about how he has all these ballots and shit like that, right? Where did that go? That was not in that video. Crazy. All right. Okay. Well, maybe I'm dreaming that then. Let's see here. Oh God. Sure. I'm sure some of you saw it. That's the guy. I forget where they took it from. Can't believe that I'm having. They just link up the same one over and over again. It was from Snap. I think the source was from Snapchat that they had used. And he ended up taking down the videos afterwards. All right. Anyway, whatever. I'll find it later then. God damn it. That's annoying. I was certain it was in there, but I didn't see it. Okay. Takumi 416 with the diamond says, love you guys. Well, thank you. Much love to you as well. Thank you for the support. Let me check Entropy Stream real quick. All right. So let's see where we are here next. Oh, this one too. We got to quickly cover this. Comey. There was a hearing today. He was in front of a intelligence hearing or before Senate. James Comey, former FBI, right? And there's a lot here to dig through, and I didn't have time to watch the stream yet. I'm sure there's a lot of interesting things that's going to come out of this, but the one clip here from it worth playing is Ted Cruz actually going on the charge against James Comey over Russia collusion conspiracy, how, you know, FBI became deliberately corrupt. Now, Trump actually mentioned a really good thing about this, which I didn't think about at first. I didn't put it in this context, right, but there's been a lot of stories that come out over the last couple of weeks about the FBI's involvement in spying on the Trump campaign when Trump mentioned it. He talked about the peaceful transfer of power when one administration leaves and the other one takes over at a time at an election, right? When an election happens, the blue check marks and the progressive media have been telling us that these are the tenets of a democratic society, is a pillar of, you know, the what we believe in. We played a clip with Cenk Yogurt in the Weekend Warrior show, in case you didn't see that. He's talking about how Trump is, you know, he's going to rig the election and then he's going to just sit in the White House and we need a coup and we're going to go and drag him out ourselves and stuff like that. But they've asked Trump, will you leave, you know, kind of thing, when you lose, because they're convinced he's going to lose. So when you lose, which is, you know, that's what's going to happen, will you leave, kind of thing. And Trump has said, like, no, we have to see it, because if it's an unfair election, then obviously it's a, if there's corruption, why should I leave? Like, we need to, that needs to be sorted out, and he needs to be, the election needs to be done right, basically, right? And Trump mentioned that idea, too, that the very fact that the previous administration, the Obama administration, how they position these people from Peter Strzok and, you know, James Comey and all these, you know, Clapper, all these people in a position where they spied on the campaign. They intentionally tried to dig out information that would be could be negatively affecting the Trump campaign when they were running, like the Steele dossier, the discredited Steele dossier and all that shit. Right. He said that's the proof that it wasn't a peaceful transfer of power. The previous administration went on a witch hunt immediately, and that's the bullshit, right? That they're expecting Trump to do the very things that they didn't do back in 2016. They're saying if you do anything in 2020 that resembles what we did to you in 2016, we'll haul you out of the White House ourselves, kind of thing, right? Anyway, here's Ted Cruz confronting James Comey Wednesday, asserting that the former FBI director was corrupt and led a purposeful, disingenuous investigation into the Trump campaign in 2016. Comey appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday to answer questions regarding his conduct and the conduct of other FBI officials during the investigation into the Trump campaign's alleged ties to Russia. The investigation launched in 2016 and culminated with the report of ex-special counsel Robert Mueller, of which a redacted version was released to the public in April 2019. The DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz investigated the origins of the FBI investigation into the Trump campaign. The FBI operation dubbed Crossfire Hurricane, right? And a lot of these, all these texts come out. I have a story on that here too. All these texts that came out, these FBI agents, they knew that what they were doing was so dirty that they took out insurance to make sure that in case they got fired or ended up in trouble or something because of what they were doing, they wouldn't, you know, they could somehow protect themselves, right? That's how dirty they were playing. Yeah, so the FBI operation dubbed Crossfire Hurricane was launched and furthered on dubious grounds as the Inspector General found 17 significant errors in FBI requests to federal courts for secret warrants under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA Act. Cruz slammed Comey, accusing him of corruption and deliberately targeting the Trump campaign with an unfounded investigation. Let's listen to the clip instead of reading what he said. Here we go.
This investigation of the president was corrupt. The FBI and the Department of Justice were politicized and weaponized. And in my opinion, there are only two possibilities: that you were deliberately corrupt or woefully incompetent. And I don't believe you were incompetent. This has done severe damage to the professionals and the honorable men and women at the FBI, because law enforcement should not be used as a political weapon.
Yeah, well, it is.
And that is the legacy you've left.
I want to see more from the hearing, actually, because I was able to search for it and kind of pick out a couple of things like this one, but there's a lot more here, I think, that we can go through that's going to be very interesting. But again, think about it too, from the perspective like how FBI is being used and stuff, and the way that they're going after, you know, white supremacy and all that. Like, the whole fucking thing is corrupt. It's just riddled with corrupt people. And time again, the people that Trump appoints, they end up falling into the same trap, right? They're all part of the, you know, you call it deep state or whatever, and it's kind of cringy in a way, but it's true. It's like there's a whole segment of people there that basically have ensured that they undermine all the things that they do not agree with, including then a democratic election in America and the Republican stuff. And here's this cringy dude too. But yeah, so this is, I'll have to pull this out. Comey was right there testifying, I guess virtually too then. Interesting. I'm sure that actually feels different. It would be better to have him on the spot, on location, grilling him. But yeah, so this is 4 hours this went on, and I haven't had time to look through it all yet. This is streamed live about 6 hours ago, so earlier today. But yeah, so a lot of things came out from this. The Federalist had an interesting story about this. Trump was right. Explosive new FBI texts detail internal furor over handling of Crossfire investigation or Crossfire Hurricane investigation. Let me read a little bit from this, because this is just, it's just incredible, the corruption here. And the how they didn't just leave their positions, how they didn't just give way for the new Trump administration, but the way that they try to manufacture bullshit that could then be used against Trump and ensnare him into corruption accusations and impeachments and the Russia bullshit. They just went on and on and on and on. And it's incredible that this is the bullshit have just gone on for years. And there hasn't been like a rooting out of these people. And every new person that, you know, gets in on the job just picks up from where the previous left off, it feels like. I mean, AG Barr from the Department of Justice, he's done a fairly good job. I mean, there are some things that he's doing, which is good. But I still not trust him all the way. Anyway, so here's newly disclosed internal FBI notes. This is a story from about a week ago, something like that. Newly disclosed internal FBI notes and text messages detail the extent of the FBI's desire to take down Trump and his associates at any cost. FBI investigators or agents, FBI agents tasked by former director James Comey to take down Trump during and after the 2016 election were so concerned about the agency's potential illegal behavior that they purchased liability insurance to protect themselves less than 2 weeks before Trump was inaugurated president. Previously hidden FBI text messages show the explosive new communications and internal FBI notes were disclosed in federal court filings today from Sidney Powell, she's the attorney who heads Michael Flynn's legal defense team. We all went and purchased professional liability insurance, one agent texted on January 10th, 2017. The same day CNN leaked details that the then President-elect Trump had been briefed by Comey about the bogus Christopher Steele dossier. That briefing of Trump was used as a pretext to legitimize the debunked dossier, which was found by the Democrat National Committee and the Clinton campaign, funded by the DNC and the Clinton campaign and compiled by a foreign intelligence officer who was working for a sanctioned Russian oligarch. Holy crap, an agent responded. All the analysts too? Yep, the first agent said. All the folks at the agency as well. Can I ask who are the most likely litigators? An agent responded. As far as potentially suing y'all, haha, who knows? I think the concern when we got it was that there was a big leak at the Department of Justice and the New York Times, among others, was going to do a piece, the first agent said. While the names of the agents responsible for the texts are redacted, the legal filing from Powell, quoting communications from the Department of Justice, states that the latest document production included handwritten notes and text from Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe, Lisa Page, and FBI analysts who worked on the FBI's investigation of Flynn. Agents also said that they were worried about how the new attorney general might view the actions taken against Trump during the investigation. Shortly after, then Senator Jeff Sessions was confirmed to be Trump's new attorney general. Congressional Democrats, media, and Obama holdovers from within the Department of Justice immediately moved to force Sessions to recuse himself from overseeing the department's investigations against Trump. Some more text messages here. The new AG might have some questions. Then yada, yada, yada. We all get screwed, one agent wrote. The FBI agents also discussed how the investigation's leadership was consumed with conspiracy theories rather than investigation. Listen to this, right? These are the very agencies that literally are trying to criminalize conspiracy theories, right? Everybody's white supremacist. It's QAnon. It's all these dangerous people and it's people who are pro-Trump and all that stuff, right? The FBI agents also discussed how the investigation's leadership was consumed with conspiracy theories rather than evidence. This is incredible. I'm telling man, if this thing ever gets FOIA'd, the Freedom of Information Act, right? FOIA'd, there are going to be some tough questions asked, one agent wrote. And a great deal of those will be related to Brian having a scope way outside the boundaries of logic. Redacted is one of the worst offenders of the rabbit holes in conspiracy theories, an agent texted. This guy traveled with that guy who put down a third guy at his visa sponsor. Third guy lives near a Navy base. Therefore, dot, dot, dot. Several, they go on here. Several texts show that the order to close the criminal investigation against Flynn came as early as November 8th, 2016, the same day as the 2016 presidential election. It was later reopened in early January of 2017. We have some loose ends to tie up, and we all need to meet to discuss what to do with each case. He said, shut down Razor. One of the agents texted, referring to Crossfire Razor, the FBI's internal code name for the investigation of Flynn, right? So General Flynn is all tied into this too. So glad they're closing Razor, an agent responded. The newly disclosed disclosures made by Department of Justice also show that the FBI used so-called national security letters, NSLs, to spy on Flynn's finances, right? They're desperate to find anything they can, any dirt that they could find, anything to be used against them. And then when they didn't find anything, they made it up, right? They just manufactured this bullshit. And then the media ran with everything that came out, or an insider, or a whistleblower said this, or they leaked something to the Washington Post or the New York Times, right? But look at this. So this is how they're doing it, right? National security letters. Never even heard of this. Unlike traditional subpoenas, which require judicial review and approval before authorities can seize an innocent person's property and information, NSLs, on the other hand, are never independently reviewed by courts. One of the agents noted in a text message that the NSLs were just being used as a pretext by FBI leadership to buy time and find dirt on Flynn after the first investigation of him yielded no derogatory information. Holy shit. The decision of NSL's finances for Razor bought him time, one agent said, nearly 2 weeks after the initial order to shut down the anti-Flynn case. It is not known to whom the agents was referring in that text, right? They redact all this shit. What do we expect to get from another NSL, an agent texted on December 5th, 2016. We put out traces, tripwires to community, and nothing. Bingo, another FBI agent responded. So what's an NSL going to do? No content. Haha, this is a nightmare, an agent said. If you're working too close down the case, I'm not sure what NSL results would do to help, one agent wrote. Exactly, that makes no sense, an agent wrote back. The explosive new text messages also show agents believed the investigation was being run by FBI officials who were in the tank for Hillary Clinton, right? And this, you can say, like, this is old stuff now, leave it, Hillary lost and all this kind of shit. But it shows how they worked against Trump and the Trump administration and all these holdovers within the DOJ. I mean, it's incredible stuff in the FBI. Doing all this election research, I think some of these guys want a Clinton presidency, one agent wrote on August 11th, shortly after the FBI opened the Crossfire Hurricane investigation against Trump. In one series of texts, the same day as the infamous January 5th Oval Office meeting between Obama, Biden, Comey, Sally Yates, and Susan Rice, one agent admits that Trump was right when he tweeted that the FBI was delaying his briefings as incoming president so they could cook up evidence against him. As the Federalist reported first last May, that January 5th meeting was the key to understanding the entire anti-Trump operation run out of Obama's FBI. The intelligence briefing on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps more time need to build a case, Trump tweeted on January 3rd. And again, it goes on from there. There's more text messages and stuff like that. Peter Strzok and all this stuff. It's just incredible, the corruption, right? And how long this has been going on and what they did to Flynn and how they shot all these people down and what they try to do. I mean, but again, this largely goes unchecked by the mainstream press, right? Let me see if I had another story on this here too. No, that was it. Okay. All right. I think we'll switch over. Millennial Honky sends a diamond thank you no message. Filbert Apple Bag gifts a 1 month sub to Hadrian Was Right. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. And also a couple of other ones. Filbert gives a 1 month sub to the Joshua Bell Show. Thank you. And also, yeah, the Joshua Bell Show received a 1 month sub. Okay, so let's switch over to this one here, ladies and gentlemen. This is kind of interesting too. Little COVID stuff here, right at the tail end of the show. We have some more things before we wrap here too. Elon Musk says he won't take coronavirus vaccine, calls Bill Gates a knucklehead. Good stuff. Now, I have plenty of critiques against Elon Musk, not the very least his, not only the brain, the computer brain interface stuff that he's doing with the pig, right? Report on that the other day. Could lead to some really dodgy shit. The whole Starlink stuff. Creepy as hell, 5G global coverage, 60,000 satellites. A lot of stuff to complain on here, a lot of stuff. But occasionally you get some good stuff from him, and we take what we can, I guess, right? Says here, SpaceX founder Elon Musk stirred the pot yet again after claiming that neither he nor his family would take a COVID-19 vaccine, even if it was readily available. The 49-year-old billionaire dropped the bombshell during a Monday appearance on the New York Times opinion podcast Sway. "I'm not at risk, neither are my kids," Musk told radio host Kara Swisher about the rationale behind his decision. During the bizarre exchange, how was it a bizarre exchange? The Tesla CEO decried the nationwide lockdown as a no-win situation that was diminished my faith in that has diminished my faith in humanity. Musk previously called the widespread quarantines unethical and de facto house arrest. Instead of the current sweeping measures, the Boring Company boss suggested that a more targeted lockdown where anyone at risk would be quarantined until the storm passes. Swisher criticized... Swisher, who is that again? Kara Swisher? Is she the... Is she the same one that called for the comment about the YouTube censorship? Oh, I think it is. Oh, yeah. TEDx. Let me see if I can find that that clip. She had, what was it, the YouTube CEO, right on. Let me see if I can find that. That's very interesting. She's a complete nutcase, that one, by the way. Maybe she was slated to try to pull this out of him so they could be used against him or something. I'm not sure. But anyway, and he's right. Elon is right here. Swisher criticized his suggestion, adding that humans could potentially die in the process. Everybody dies, quipped Musk. Well, it's true. I mean, it's the death rates are utterly pathetic of this thing now. They're super low, and the cases that they run doesn't show anything. Virus load is minimal within people who even do test positive, and maybe they even test positive because they get so many false positives. I mean, this is garbage. And then the death that they do have had so many comorbidities, and it's been among people who are old. And sadly, this happens every time a influenza season rolls around, that a lot of people who are old and have other underlying conditions, they do get sick and they do succumb. They die, but not only to the influenza or to the virus that they contract, but because they have so many other things that are plaguing them, right? I think it was CNN who had a little clip from that too. I don't think the New York Times piece had the audio of that in there, actually. Let me see if CNN had that, because I do want to listen when he talked about it. Elon Musk doubles down on COVID-19 skepticism and says he won't take future vaccine, right? There's a same one reporting of this. Let's see this clip here. I think they had the audio clip from Elon talking about at least the lockdowns from the podcast. Let's see if I can find that clip here.
That's all it is.
Okay, it's one of these gay videos. All right, we'll play it. We'll see what comes out of it.
To say that they cannot leave their house and they will be arrested if they do, this is fascist. This is not democratic.
Just call it communism, Musk. It's the only thing I ask. They're communists, okay?
This is not freedom. Give people back their goddamn freedom.
I think he's right. The coronavirus panic is dumb, he tweeted out. I think it is dumb. But it's not dumb when you know that it's being used for political purposes, right? And then CNN says hundreds of thousands of people have died of COVID-19 across the globe. Yeah, but is it worth just ruining everything for? I mean, this is insane. Let's see if they have the clip here. Yeah, kids, he says here in another tweet, kids are essentially immune, but elderly with existing conditions are vulnerable. Family gatherings with close contact between kids and grandparents, probably most risky. Yeah, so what's wrong with that? Based on current trends, probably close to zero new cases in U.S. too by the end of April. Up to 80% false positive. Yeah, I mean, it's all this shit is true, like you said. Yeah, here's, Sarah, this is kind of a tangent here, but here's Kara Swisher, right? She was the one who talked with Susan Wojcicki, and oh, I wish I had that. Let me see if I can find that portion again. This was like a Lesbians Who Tech. Do you guys remember this? We played this in a flashback Friday show. Lesbians Who Tech. Queer, inclusive, badass is the tagline behind them here on this. And she's talking with Susan Wojcicki, and she's talking about all these Nazis on the YouTube platform. And why can't you just delete them all, just ban them all? This is the person who talked to Musk here. It's about 30 minutes long. Comments turned off, of course. So I doubt we're going to... Let me see if I can find that real quick here. Let's listen a bit here.
The comments with those videos were. Right. And as soon as we were made aware of them, the number...
So a little bit of a tangent here, guys. Sorry about this. But I want you to hear this if you haven't heard it before.
Tens of millions of videos. We basically did that almost instantly. Mm-hmm. Just in an abundance of caution to make sure that we were able to stop it. And then in the last week and just yesterday, we spent time looking at our policies and we announced...
She basically is asking her, why do you let all these people be on your platform? Why don't you just delete them all?
Some really significant changes, one of which is that we are no longer going to allow comments on videos that are featuring young minors anymore. And
the applause. Did they follow through on that? Did they actually delete... Remember, Soph was... she had her... YouTube channel, obviously, banned, deleted, right? But before that, I think they killed all of her comment sections or something like that. And they've done it to a bunch of shows because it was a bunch of pedophiles who were linking up time codes in the comments to where there was two kids in a swimming pool. These pedophiles linked up time codes of like, here, this time code has an, like, here you can see them do, you know what I mean? Like this sickening, disgusting shit. And what did they do? Ban all the comments instead of deleting and banning the people who made the comments. It's ridiculous, right? Everybody's applauding. It was this one line, which is basically like, you built this great city, like YouTube, this digital city, but you didn't have any measures of cleaning out the trash, the rats and the parasites that are running around in your beautiful infrastructure. When are you going to do that, Susan? Let's see if we can find it.
And older minors that are engaged in risky behavior.
Go for it.
You know that. What this is when I have a platform, am I making something? I know what's happening on my platform. I know what's happening in comments. Silicon Valley in general has been sort of doing this. It's not YouTube as much as Facebook, but it's the excessive I'm sorry tour, like oops, sorry, oops, sorry, oops, sorry. And it's the questions like made aware. We were made aware. We didn't realize it. Talk about what goes into these platforms. And I realize the amount of video going over them. Sure. I realize how big it is. I realize the technical problem.
Okay, I'm going to go forward a bit here.
But sometimes it feels as if they don't have any sense of anyone... it seems like they live a life that's very safe. It's typically white, young men, and they don't understand the lack of safety for so many other people, not just children.
Oh, holy shit. Yeah, because nothing happens to white men. We live in a time right now where it's such advantageous, great times to be a young white guy, right?
Talk about that.
Yeah.
All right, that's not it. Let me skip forward a bit.
So I will say we have been very focused on child safety. It wasn't like
blah,
we were
blah, blah. I think it came after that portion.
It's really responsible.
We do run classifiers. We look at the comments. We actually remove hundreds of millions of comments every quarter that we...
...in the solutions
to this, because one of the solutions is regulatory. Like, all of a sudden tomorrow... Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act was removed from you all, you'd have to figure it out rather quickly, right? You don't have a broad immunity. What would you do?
Let me see if I can find that portion right there. I really want to hear that. The guy, this bugs me that I didn't have that. I should have pulled that out.
Casey Newton just wrote a great piece in The Verge about Facebook, people who go through Facebook videos, and they all want to... People who watch the conspiracy videos suddenly believe in conspiracies.
Here we go.
They're being badly affected. They're having sex in the stairwells. They're like,
what in the stairwells? Yeah, this is what I'm saying. They've utterly just killed the rabbit hole, right? That was what was so fantastic about YouTube. You watch one video about one thing, the algorithm recommended like 10 others on the same topic or similar things, and you could just keep. It was fascinating. It was interesting. You stumbled over information that you've never heard before. It was like a library of just amazing things. Did you have to believe it all? Of course not, but that's not the point. It was the idea that you could learn about shit that you've never otherwise would have heard about, right? And many of this, I mean, YouTube in the early days, it was dominated by the conspiracy field, the UFO stuff, and, you know, like alternative shit that you couldn't get in the mainstream. And that was so good about it. And people like Kara Swisher is basically saying, like, you're creating all these Nazis because they're listening to conspiracy theories.
Like crazy. They watch this stuff and they get warped. Obviously, humans are not going to be the way you're going to figure this out, but you have to put humans to the test. So, talk about this, what could be done.
Well, we have to wait to hear.
Let me see if this is it.
Very unlikely to recommend that.
And so I'll get to recommendations. I have a personal beef with you about that.
Oh, here. Okay. This is it, I think.
I can't wait
Finally.
To hear.
This should be here.
My son, who's 13 years old,
started
watching Ben Shapiro videos. And he's like the gateway drug to the next group. And then it goes right to Jordan Peterson. Then it goes down. And in three clicks, he was at neo-Nazi stuff.
Yes. It's like... That's how it works. Oh, you're going to be defining that. But it's like if you encounter something that makes sense and you want to hear more about it, and it takes you in a direction which is derailing from the mainstream narrative, the fact is that they just can't like argue with that, or they won't engage in that. They just say this is, well, let's call it white supremacy and Nazism, and then we can kick it off of the platform, and voila, we don't have to address it. This is why they reformed YouTube. This is why all these mainstream platforms now going up after the 2020 election have booted off virtually everybody that had anything interesting to say, right?
It was like astonishing. And then I had to listen to it at dinner. And I was sort of like, I'm going to kill Susan Wojcicki first.
Okay,
and then,
here I am.
But it was sort of
do
like,
it.
I was sort
do
of
it
like,
now.
Anything like, it feels like, as I said, I think you've heard me say this, it feels like all you tech companies have
Listen.
Built cities, these beautiful cities, but you decided not to initially put in police, fire, garbage, street signs, and stuff like that. And so it feels like the purge every night. I mean, what? I'm not, it's a good joke, but it is. I'm sort of like, and then I've got like this kid who's like, well, Ben Shapiro is sort of smart. I'm like, no, he's not. No, he's not. Not even slightly. He's clever, but he's an idiot. And anyway, it's just like, it's exhausting. But it has like a huge effect on them. Wow. Do you feel like the
Yeah, I wonder why. Because if we don't agree with it, possibly it just, it's some kind of disease-ridden information. It must be wrong, but I can't put my, and I can't argue against it. But it's somehow it's convincing people. And that's wrong, so we have to shut it down,
well,
right?
Like, on a bigger thing, and it's not your total responsibility, Susan, but it's, do you feel like the people in Silicon Valley have a sense of this, of the impact they have, and are capable of dealing with it, or will regulatory measures just have to come into place?
All right, blah, blah, blah. She goes on from that. But you heard that line, right, about basically putting in, like, you need someone to clean out the trash, right? She's talking about the rats, essentially, that's running around in these digital virtual cities. And it's, you build beautiful things, but then... You didn't take care of the language used to describe the people that she don't agree with. It's incredible. It's literally taken out of the textbook of the people that she whines and complains about all the time, right? Anyway, I don't know how we ended up on this. But that's the woman, anyway, just to put that in perspective, that interviewed Elon Musk here, right? And so that's why, and now he's in trouble because he said he didn't want to take the dumb vaccine. The potential like deadly disease inducing injury, possible of vaccine injury inducing vaccine. We'll have to see how this pans out. But yeah, anyway, good on Musk for detailing this. And of course, while I was CNN, I saw this in passing too. Experts are speaking out, and they're telling us there's no getting back to normal. Experts say the sooner we accept that, the better. So it will be continued communism. It will just be communism for forever now, and we'll alter society and we'll change things in our favor. And you can't do anything about it because COVID, because of the virus, right? Quick headline on this too. It's kind of interesting. Whole Foods CEO blasted for condemning American obesity, linking it to COVID-19 deaths. Right? So in other words, you can have 1,000 underlying conditions, and then you contract the coronavirus or whatever it is, COVID. And then you die. And it will continuously always be blamed on COVID-19 as opposed to the underlying conditions that you've had, or the fact that if you even get the flu, if you're like, you know, morbidly obese, you can end up in trouble. In other words, it's not nice, I guess, to keep it simple. It's not nice to say to people, well, you're like morbidly obese, you have an issue health-wise. If you get other issues here, if you contract other diseases, or like in this case, COVID-19, you can end up in trouble. You can actually die because you're having this massive load on your body, this underlying condition, which just means it takes very little to push you over the edge. You see what I'm saying? And so he's attacked for suggesting you should tell people it's not good to be so fat that you're close to death, right? And then he's attacked. The whole world is getting fat. Whole Foods CEO John Mackey is taking heat on social media for daring to say that American obesity has caused COVID-19 deaths, even though obesity is a comorbidity that medical professionals have cautioned against. Speaking with the New York Times, Mackey, who has made it his lifelong mission to encourage better eating, said that the majority of Americans are becoming food addicts and refuse to blame it on poverty. Some people have been moving in the right direction and the majority of people in the wrong direction, he said. We can see that through the way people eat today versus the way they ate 50 or 60 years ago. Statistically, we have definitely moved in the wrong direction. The whole world is getting fat. It's just that Americans are at the leading edge of that. We're getting fat, we're getting sicker. By the way, he continued, I mean, there's a very high correlation between obesity and COVID deaths. And one of the reasons that the United States have had more of a problem with COVID is simply that the comorbidities like diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, they're just higher in the US. But you see, you can't talk about that because that's racism, right? We even heard it yesterday in the debate. Joe Biden brought up this idea that it's like the virus is targeting Black Americans disproportionately because the virus is racist, right? But it's like if you have underlying conditions, if you're more prone to diabetes, or either heart disease or obesity or something like that, right? Then you end up, it's more likely that you would, if you do contract COVID, you end up in more trouble than someone else, right? But see, that's mean. You can't say that to anybody. So it's worth killing them because you can't say anything about that. So you can't help them out and say something about it and tell, hey, you should probably deal with that issue. Because if you get a secondary issue, guess what? They're all just kind of they add on to each other, right? It grows from there on out, and you have massive issues on your head, and you could end up dying. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. You basically can't talk about the sincerity of this, the reality of that rather. While we're on the COVID thing here, let me actually do this. Let me show this clip. It was kind of interesting. So Victoria, Australia, have just been in. We're going to wrap up here shortly, but a couple of more things. Australia, Victoria, particularly in Australia, and the Victoria police have just been, insane. Like, completely insane, the measures that they've taken, the policing around this, the bullshit that they've subjected their populations to, and using COVID-19 as an excuse. It was an interesting clip. It's one among hundreds of clips that are coming out from Australia, from New Zealand, the UK is in a bad spot too. Questioning the lockdown, like you can't even be outside, you can't even be taking a walk. If you do, they'll register you, they'll take your name, your birth date, where you live, you'll end up in trouble, they'll prosecute you. Check out this clip. And apparently there'd recently been a hearing down in Australia where the officials, they couldn't answer certain questions regarding, I guess, how it got out of control, and they kept using, well, I can't recall all the time. So the guy here that's being questioned by police is whipping out the same answer that the politicians did, who were under oath when they had the hearing, and said, well, I just can't recall that. Okay, well, we have to move on, that kind of thing. But of course, you can't use that. You can't say, well, I can't recall, because that's what the official said. Listen to this. It's incredible.
Date of birth.
Do I need to provide that?
Yes, you do. At this stage, as has been explained to you multiple times, you believe to be committing an offence, which is breaching the CHO restrictions.
Yep. Has the CHO still got a job, or has he resigned like McCarcos today?
At this stage,
you're still there.
What I'm going to need are your details. We can confirm your identity, and then...
Then we can keep walking?
Let's get through the first step.
Are you within 5 kilometres of your residential address?
I can't recall.
Okay.
Martin, I'll just go with your date of birth.
I can't recall either.
It doesn't really matter. You realise that...
Yeah, I can't recall. Like, the government said, I can't recall. Every single official said, I can't recall over this commission.
Martin, can I...
I can't recall not a legal answer?
Martin?
I can't recall a legal answer?
I'd like to have a conversation.
I know.
Martin, do what I tell you.
I'd like to as well, but I'm just saying, the government, that was the government's excuse for every question that they were asked against the quarantine that put us in this mess.
Martin.
They said, I can't recall. I don't think that's a good enough answer either.
Look, I
don't think you do.
I understand that you'd like to voice your opinion at this stage.
Yeah.
I just want to have a really...
But if I can't recall, is that a good answer? Yeah.
At this stage, you're not wearing a mask.
Yep.
I need to confirm your identity because you are breaching CHO regulations.
But have I been made a specific health risk? Have you identified a specific health risk of me?
Martin.
Yes. Have you? That's what the directive says, that you've got to be identified as a specific health risk. You can't just blanket lock everyone up like you guys are.
Martin, I want to avoid locking you up, which is why I would like to confirm your identity. If we cannot confirm your identity, you will be placed under arrest for continuing to commit an offence. Do you understand what I've been saying?
Well, I understand. I don't agree with it.
Okay, you may not agree with it, but I appreciate you clarifying that you understand it. Can you please tell me what your date of birth and your current residential address is?
Just one last time. So I can't recall is not an acceptable answer?
In this case, no, it's not, because
it's not.
I am asking you, under the Crimes Act...
So under the oath, if I was under the oath, I could say...
You're not currently under an oath, Martin.
But under the oath, it's an acceptable answer.
All right.
Yep, it is. For them, it's one rule.
Okay, I'll give you my details.
I appreciate that. Can you please give me your date of birth?
25.
Okay. Martin, what are you doing here?
I came for a walk.
Okay. Before I continue...
Just like everybody else here.
Sorry, Martin, before I continue, you don't have to...
Came for a walk and to expose our...
Check with.
Yeah, if that's okay.
Get ready to tase him, right? All right, I don't know how that ended, but this is, it's just fucking, I mean, it's incredible what happens, is happening down in Australia. But yeah, someone said, this is by far and away the most well-rehearsed response to questioning I've heard whilst dealing with Victoria Police so far. I think I can't recall at the botched quarantine bungle inquiry. See, I haven't even looked into that. I got to look into that. Quarantine bungle inquiry. This guy absolutely nails it. This is epic, Sharon. But yeah, so officials under oath, of course, can do whatever they can do whatever they want. It's no problem. Oh, I don't recall. Oh, okay, then we can move on. But you have to respond. You have to you have to follow every order that they give, right? All right, there's a couple of stories here, and we have to wait with them a little bit later. We're getting a few minutes over the past the hour here. And I think we're going to wrap up, and some of them we might have to save a little bit. These are some of the things I've actually been wanting to cover for some time. Department of Justice unveils proposed legislation to rein in speech policing by corrupt tech monopolies. It's regarding the proposal of the reforming or changing, updating, altering Section 230 of the Decency Communications Act. And I've been trying to dig into that a bit more. To see what's going to happen. Is that something that would be to benefit of us, to both dissidents, but also people that want to, that are pro-free speech, that would like to see more of it, not less? Because, of course, this is how they stifle us to communicate our message and take part in the political discourse. They just ban us and shut us down, so like so many are being, like so many are right now. So this is a story I'll return to, but it's kind of interesting and still skeptical. I'll remain skeptical until something actually happens on this front. It seems promising, but there could always be some other hook or some kind of caveat that comes to it, right? So we'll see about that. I saw this one too on the American Mind regarding that. Bring free speech back to social media now. It was a proposal regarding having the big media Silicon Valley companies signing. I think it was a charter, I think they called it. They had a couple of points here. Yeah, taking back action. It was called, critiquing primarily fact-checking, which is a method that they're using to shut down dissent and make people just, well, give the appearance that, well, this is not true, and so it deserves to be censored kind of thing, the way that they're bypassing it. But yeah, they have a framework here to create a social media charter that you ask these companies to sign on to. Again, could be nothing, might not go anywhere, but I like the proposal. It was on American Mind. And finally, one thing we'll have to cover another time is this very important article written by Frankfurt School protege, Mariana Mazzacato, I think it is Italian. We need to act boldly now if we are to avoid economic-wide lockdowns to halt climate change. So they're actually proposing doing lockdowns for the sake of climate change. And so this is a talking point that's coming, and this was a good piece. I just don't have time to read much of it now, but I wanted to read portions of it. It's just complete lunacy. But yeah, this is the author right here, Mariana. I think she was born in Italy, then, or actually, she was born in America of Italian parents, and then she ended up going back to the U.S., but she was educated at the New School for Social Research, which is like literally like the Frankfurt School. So, you know, big surprise. Basically, you need communism. We need more communism and a lot more communism of it, and we'll use the lockdowns to do that, and then we'll reform the whole system in our image kind of thing, right? All right, so we'll have to say, I know I've covered some of it, but it's been frustrating. I haven't been able to get to it over the last couple of shows, but this is something I do want to return to. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's do this. Let's double check the chats on DLive, and then we'll open up the chest here shortly. Let me just check if there's any other chats here. Tiny Twat with a Ninjagini says both the FBI and CIA have been infiltrated by Mossad. Yeah, I believe that's true. Nancy Pelosi is a Jewish android, just like RBJ. Maybe RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I thought Pelosi was Italian, though. No? Am I wrong on that? But who knows? Maybe at this point, anything is possible. Thank you, Tiny Twat, for the Ninjagini. Appreciate that. Philbert Apple Bag with a diamond says, I learned Linux because it doesn't get many viruses. I've always wanted to learn Linux. Finland, right? Linus is his name. Finland. Came up with Linux. Good stuff. I know it's getting easier and easier, and the operating systems that they have now with it, what are they called? Like Red Hat and all these others. I haven't looked into it too much, but it's getting easier and easier. So really there isn't an excuse, but I commend you for learning it. Good on you. That's definitely the way to go. Lord Aragon, back, I guess we looked at the Susan Wojcicki interview that Karen Swisher did, says, screw YouTube with a diamond. I agree. NSA.gov is here too with a diamond. Awesome. Good to see you boys. Stick around. Hope you learned something. Tiny Twat with a Ninjagini says RBG is giving BJs to Moss in hell. There you go. Moss BJs to Moss in hell. There you go. Tiny Twat. I thought they didn't believe in an afterlife, right? That's why here is their... they need to create paradise on Earth. Their paradise on Earth, right? Anyway, Tiny Twat follows up after that Ninjagini. Thank you for that, by the way. It says, with a diamond, meant Moses. There's a Moss. Okay, Moses. There we go. Some auto-correct raping going on there. Yeah, so RBG is giving blowjobs to Moses in hell. There we go. NSA.gov again with a diamond says 2John17. I have to look that one up. Not sure what that is. Thank you for the diamond. Philbert Applebag with a diamond says Linux operating system made by Linus Torvalds. From Finland. There you go. I caught it. Maybe you sent that after I said it, though. But that's right. Tiny Twat with a diamond says, why are lesbians so deeply unattractive? Because they have more testosterone, probably. So they look like males, I would assume. I think it's pretty simple. But yes, I think it's a fairly accurate observation. Temple Denier received a one-month sub from Philbert Applebag. Thank you for that. Tiny Twat again with the diamond says, so bizarre, the Anglo world is unusually reasonable. Is usually reasonable. Yeah, I mean, but it's been converted and infiltrated and overrun and taken over. That's what I believe anyway. Tiny Twat with a diamond says, Mariana looks like a tranny to me. Well, there you go. There you go. All right. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Great to be back with you today here again. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for watching. Whether you're watching us later on in the archives, bitchute.com/RedAssTV. Shout out to all everyone joining us on BitChute. Love you guys over there. Library audience, of course, we have. We do try to upload these to brand new tube as well. I think we're live streaming to brand new tube if that is successful. Having a little bit of an issue of streaming. Streaming, or rather replaying things that I upload. Sometimes the streaming works, sometimes not. So I'm not sure what they're doing over there. I generally am very supportive of new services, of course, as well. But there's definitely some hiccups with brand new too, but we are there as well. We're live streaming to Float, FLOTE.app/RedIceTV. You can find us over there, and a number of places as well. Let's open up the chest, boys and girls. We have about, I thought I put, what happened? I put about 600 in there. Let me reload real quick here and see if that's updated. I wanted to put some more lemons in there. Yeah, we have about 1,000 in there. So let's open that up, distribute the rewards. Chest is opening. Heads up on that. But so, yes, we'll be back here. We have a video going straight up to Red Ice members.com, Lana's latest, that will go right up there as soon as we're done with it. Just a little bit of editing. It will probably go up tomorrow. And then, of course, after that, we have No-Go Zone coming up right after that. Sorry, Flashback Friday. I'm all confused. I'm looking at the DLive chest here if it's opening. Flashback Friday, Christ's sake. Friday, it's almost Friday again. Unbelievable. Halfway through the week, Wednesdays, we do No-Go Zone. And then, of course, Fridays, we do, as usual, Flashback Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern. You can tune into that. That's 11 p.m. Central European time. All right, luckiest followers here on DLive, Karavaki, number one, Mr. Wright, number two, Star Pilot, number three, Mr. Noseberg, number four, and William Shear, number five. Thank you so much to all of you, and thank you to everyone out there as well. Whether you're a member joining us at redicemembers.com, or if you're super chatted or donated to us, thank you so much for that, because it does help. We need the support, and definitely check out redicemembers.com if you haven't already. Great stuff there for you, exclusive membership content. We'll see you guys soon. Until then, take care. Much love. Now, if you're new here, just want to alert you to Weekend Warrior, our exclusive show that we do at redicemembers.com each weekend. News roundup show. We talk about some of the current events, the most important stories. We have a good laugh as well. Laugh at some of the cultural Marxist absurdities. Check it out if you haven't already. An exclusive show. People love it. They tune in each weekend. They don't miss a single show. It's well produced. There really isn't anything like it on the anti-globalist movement, whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much for watching. But again, if you want more, redicemembers.com, Weekend Warrior. Check it out.